podcast where sales and marketing talk.
Welcome back to another episode of Frenemies. My name is Julia Hartwig and I stand for marketing and I'm talking to...
I am Ahmed Albayrak and I stand for the sales.
And today we want to talk about something that most people don't really like to talk about, and that is fuck-ups. So while everybody has already moved on to 2023 talking about the predictions and how this year will be, we want to talk about what we fucked up in 2022.
Yeah, yeah, right. And we fucked actually, up a lot.
And actually, I would like to start with a story that is not my personal fuck up, but it involves me. And I think you might like this story. So yeah. Last year, I wanted to buy a solution. I was in contact with a very great AE, but, you know, the process was dragging out, more stakeholders got involved, and the end of the year was, you know, approaching. So the AE got a bit impatient and started to get very pushy. But, you know, the things, like, I couldn't do anything about the situation. You know, I had informed all of the stakeholders. So there were just a lot of questions, for example, from legal and so on, that I really couldn't do anything about. And the AE became pushier and pushier. And, you know, then I just stopped answering emails and getting back to him because I was like, it's not on my table. I can't do anything about it. Yeah. And obviously the AE felt then sorry. So he sent a bottle of champagne to my house.
Wow.
With a note saying, sorry. The thing is just my partner wasn't too impressed opening the package with a bottle of champagne from an AE, let's call him Michael, that said sorry.
Yeah, I guess he's also a little bit right, you know, so when you don't know the background story of it, you know, it's like, Michael sent you champagne, you know, it has a more romantic mood, you know, it's like champagne, you know, it's
yes.
Like, said sorry.
So while I appreciated the idea, the you know, execution of it could have maybe been done better. So that is just a little fuck up story I wanted to share.
Yeah, but you know, it's like it's great. But you know, you didn't purchase the software, right? After that, you know, I was like, there is no way.
We actually did in the end. Oh. It's just the process dragged out. So it all turned out fine for both us and the AE, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The thing is, you know, it's like I'm not thinking your AE is the main part here who wanted to push, actually. He actually understood the process. But the thing is, you know, he's being pushed or he's being pushed in this case. And, you know, it's like, hey, you have to close this deal. You did everything. You know, it's like, you have to close. We need to show it in our report to our investors and all that stuff. That's why this funny fuck up happened.
Yeah, I completely get it. But I think, again, it also comes to like, how much can you push and what can you actually do and where does it maybe not make sense, because the person you might be wanting to push can't do anything about it either, right?
Yeah. All right.
But let's get to you. What fuck-ups do you have to report for 2022?
Yeah, actually, in the beginning of the year, I had a good Turkish lira salary, but the economy was fucked up. And, you know, decided to, you know, it's like, hey, I can find a remote job. I can speak two languages and I'm in sales for 5 years. And I'm also interested in tech and I wanted to get into tech sales. But this is the thing. I underrated myself in interviews, the first actually 15 or 20 interviews. Because I thought that, you know, it's like, because it was the first time then I was actively, you know, lurking on LinkedIn. And I see, you know, it's like everyone is talking about like tech sales, like something being completely different. And I told myself, you know, you know, it's like, hey, you have to learn a lot. You know, of course, everyone needs to learn a lot, especially in sales. But at the end, we are selling to human beings. So in the first few interviews, first 10 or 20, it was fully fuck ups. And I was just like, yeah, you know, it's like, I'm open to learn. I'm new to this. And I was like, my tone was different. And, you know, I had like 50 minute interviews. I got one or after, you know, it's like, after 20 interviews, I just got to second stage in two or three of them. And then I realized, dude, you know, it's like, it's sales, you know, it's like, you're not selling to a machine, you're selling to a human being. So, and you're in sales for 5 years, you sold different things to different people before. So in that sense, I just changed my mindset at that point. And after that, my first round, I made my research in that time, you know, so the tools, you know, it's like what they're using, you know, so cadence, what is a cadence sequence and all that other stuff. But then I realized, and so I started to control the interviews. Actually, it took only for me 15 to 20 minutes in the first stage with an HR. And she directly said to me, hey, let's set up for you an interview with the hiring manager. You know, so we are excited to have you. I'm very proud you applied to us and all that stuff. And I also, you know, so changed my strategy by applying to the jobs. You know, I just went directly through that, not just, you know, send my CV and all that stuff. So this was the thing, you know, it's like the first 20 interviews. And it also gives you, you know, it's like you doubt yourself, you know, when you get rejected. And no one can say, I don't care. You care, but the important thing is how much you care. So I started care less because I got so many rejections. And I just, you know, it's like, hey, what did I wrong? So did I do wrong? Okay, this one, this one, this one, this. Okay, I need to change that. And after that, at the end, I had on the table 3-4 offers, and I got the chance to choose one of them because it's really hard to. But I didn't realize it's really hard to find a really good salespeople out there because everyone is doing great on interviews, especially when you hire for sales. That I also realized later, you know. So, they are doing great on the interviews, but when it comes to the work, no one is there. You know, it's like everyone is afraid of taking the forward steps because it takes courage to be in sales because you are talking to strangers. You are messaging to strangers all the time. And for me, it was like, I have a little more careless personality, let's say. And what I did at the end, it's just like, I can send videos, you know, it's like, I can get creative. I wanted to get creative in my outreach, and you cannot do it in traditional industries. You know, it's like when I send a video to 50 years old Olaf from Germany with the, hey, Olaf, you know, this is Ahmed from I don't know what company. And if we want to sell you some bearings, machine parts. Was wollen Sie da machen? I don't want to get that reaction. So this is one thing. So
you could say like this might be your fail of 2022, but at the same time, it's also your win, right? Because you did get a new job, you got job offers. So it's great to see that, you know, you turn it around and you actually, you know, turned your fuck up into a really good thing.
Yeah, the thing is actually, you know, it's a bit fuck ups, you know, it's like, hey, I fucked it up. Okay, it's over. No, you know, it's like almost what I learned from, I had a wise brother so that I call him brother. It's not my, you know, it's like relative or something, but he taught me this, you know, because I had this problem, you know, it's like when something's not happened, I just completely let it go and do not try again. What I did, you know, it's like we will fuck up in every stage of our lives, even in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, it's like if you live that far. So the thing is, okay, I fucked up. So what should I do next? For example, for you, for example, do not let a champagne from Michael with a sorry notice to your home. So, or give a notice, prior notice. Hey, we just want to your partner, you know, it's like we wanted to buy a software. He did this. That's why he said this. So, yeah, that's the thing. So
I think on my end, I mean, you know, the list of smaller fuck ups is quite long, you know, especially being a person or having a role where you execute a lot as well.
Yeah.
can lead to a lot of fun little fuck ups. I mean, you know, one thing is I ran a lot of webinars in 2022. So, you know, I did all of the coordination and planning and the strategic part, but I wasn't a speaker on the webinars. I was kind of handling them in the back. But we had some fun fuck ups with, you know, the wife of the speaker coming in the back room, noticing that a webinar was going on, swearing loudly and leaving again and things like that. Yeah, it's the list is long, but you could say, you know, one good thing that came out of that as well is that I worked a lot on, you know, creating guides for these things. So then we created a speaker's guide. So just to ensure, hey, how's the lighting in the room and all of those things to prepare everyone. And I got really good at what do I need to do to prepare everyone also so that everyone on the webinar, all the speakers enter in, you know, the right mindset and they're not coming from another meeting and then start a webinar. They're completely stressed, but, you know, book them a bit before so they actually have a few minutes to prepare mentally for, okay, now it's time to deliver and be smart on point.
You know, it's like I had that, you know, so we did some advent calendar events. I had that as well. You know, it's like it was my first ever actually I did a live event before just by myself. And what I realized, you know, it's like everything was in my head, how to explain it and all that stuff. But when it's live, it's something completely different because you are not looking at to another person, like just like we did here. I'm just looking at a camera, you know, it's like it's just two lenses there. I'm just staring at it and talking to it. And I couldn't follow up. There were a lot of comments, you know, a lot of questions, actually. There were some little debates in between, but I couldn't follow up all of them. You know, it's like, it was also a different experience. So, but yeah, we have to learn from our experiences. So fuck ups.
I mean, one thing I'm proud to say, as far as I'm aware, in 2022, that didn't go an email out that I was involved in that had, you know, some sort of mistakes. Like, you know, you always love when you receive these emails where it says subject line in brackets and somebody forgot to fill in the subject line. As far as I know, that didn't happen to me in 2022. So that I'm kind of proud of. But obviously there are a lot of other small mistakes that just happen by, you know, trying to execute fast or, you know, it just happens. You know, press releases being published on a website when they shouldn't, or small mistakes like that. Obviously, technology plays a big part in it as well. So on our front page, the book a demo button didn't work for a week because there were some problems with a provider. Oh. Yeah. So things like that. Is also on the list of 2022 fuck ups, even though, you know, I don't, you know, it's not mistakes I directly did, but obviously it's part of the job to spot those things and act really fast as well, because you know that 1 week without that button can cost you a lot.
Yeah, especially a lot, really a lot. So actually I had something like this, you know, I receive now, you know, it's like we founded the sales fellowship and all this stuff. I receive some sales emails and someone still tries, I didn't answer the email, but still calls me Tom. And the email address is ahmed.albayrak@salesfellowship.com. You know, it's like, still calls me Tom. Tom, I didn't hear from you. You know, it's like, Tom's any thoughts? You know, it's like, I was like, okay. I received also a company name, you know, it's like, prospect, high prospect.
Yeah.
In your company. Like, you know, it's like in brackets, you know, it's like in your company, you need this and this and this. Okay. And, you know, it's like, it's really personalized email.
See, I would reply back and say, I think something in automation doesn't work there, or the SDR was just too lazy to, you know, actually put the personalizations in.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, it can happen, you know, it's sometimes it's a bug, you know, it's like from the software that they send, you know, the outreach tool that they use. But in most cases, you have to be okay, you know, it's like we think actually quantity is over quality. And this is a really big issue that we almost everyone has in sales. You know, we think that, you know, the best performance and, I don't know, 1,000 emails makes 200 calls a day or something. You know, it's like not going too precise. You know, it's like when you don't get, you know, with a precise work with, I don't know, 30, 50, 40 to 50 calls consistently, or with 25 to 30 really good emails, you can get much more out of it. When you didn't get any results, actually, it's not your fault. It's the management's fault to find the right ICP at the end. We got that a lot, so.
I think it's a topic we kind of mention in nearly every episode, and I think it's good we're not getting tired of saying it, because I mean, it's the same in marketing.
Yeah.
The main idea of a lot of people and a lot of leaders is still that quantity brings you quality, and it's just not the case. It's the same that you see in leads, that, you know, there are those targets on the quantity needs to rise, where it's like, well, that just makes everybody really busy. Like, yeah. Wouldn't it be better if SDRs actually work on a lower amount of really qualified leads than just working on this massive quantity? And, you know, that way you could actually save cost, because you wouldn't make the entire department, like sales department, so busy and worked up and working through like the entire amounts.
Yeah. The thing is, you know, if everything runs on data, you know, it's like they have the data to analyze it. Okay. You know, so who do we sell easier? Let's say, you know, what is our competitors' situation in this country? Okay. We are strong in this and this and this and that countries, or not in that, this and this and this country. So let's not bother right now to contact them unless we got some strengths, you know, it's like some additional features or something like this to have a reason to contact them. So this is the thing, you know, there are so many variants, but we just, you know, our ICP is based on company size, position, and I don't know, you know, it's like the industry or something, you know, it's like this is only with that you cannot tailor and well ICP, you cannot decide, hey, this is the people that I'm going to sell. Hey, there are 5 million companies in your range. It's not possible, okay? You cannot sell to all of them. This is really ridiculous, but yeah, people are people. So they will change. It will change, you know. It's like people will see, because especially with the recent developments with AI and all that stuff, actually they will read, because AI will mostly analyze this stuff and give you some results out of that. Hey, you have this and this and this problems. You solved this and this and this prospects much more easier. So let's target them. And there are, I don't know,
30K I mean, to be honest, it doesn't even need AI for this. Like,
yeah, you know, but
the data is already there. So if people would just use it properly, they would already be able to get these results. But, you know, people, or most people, I think it's 9 out of 10 people, don't like change, which is understandable. I mean, you know, so, but change needs to happen, especially in this year. And I think that's a really, really good thing. And honestly, one of my predictions is that a lot of companies will have to work on their ICP, because most companies don't have the budgets in this year to cater to, as you say, those like 5 million companies. They need to refine the ICP to get more efficient in how they're spending and how they're targeting, and then also how they're selling, obviously, to actually achieve the results they need to, you know, stay alive.
Exactly. Yeah, but the thing, you know, it's like people are not nowadays, you know, it's like what I see, you know, people are in two directions, two radical directions, actually. You know, it's like only change and only keep, you know, more conservative, or too innovative. You know, it's like not everything new is great. Okay, you know, it's like some things are, we tend to think, you know, it's like, hey, our ancestor did bad. No, man, you know, it's like you cannot say, you know, it's like because we live in a better age. No. Who says, you know, it's like we live in a better age, you know, it's like this time you know, it's like 2020s are much, much better than, I don't know, 1800s or 1700s, 1600s. You just guess from this side, you know, it's like looking from 2023 to 1700. Okay, it's better. Why? What is better? We have smartphones. We have laptops. No, it doesn't make anything better. But the other thing is, so you have to find in between. Okay. You have to be conservative by adapting new technologies, because I also see in a lot of software development companies, you know, they are selling something not finished. Okay. This is also a thing. They are promoting it like it's, you know, it's like fully mature product, but it's not. So that's why you have to be really careful by buying these stuff. But on the other hand, it's not like, hey, we don't need any of them. No, you need them. So, you know, it's like when you implement it right, actually, you don't need to, you know, it's like you start working smarter, actually. You know, it's not harder, more smarter. You know, you can evaluate your time much, much better as a business owner, or, you know, it's like head of sales or something, like head of marketing, et cetera, et cetera.
But I think the problem you're getting at is something that I see in the market as well. I feel like most products are scared to position themselves as like, this is the problem we solve for you. They want to position themselves as, these are all of the problems we solve. And it's just not the case, right? I don't know how many solutions you work with every day, but for me, it's minimum 10, most likely even up to 20 different tools and solutions I use. And I don't use them because I love using so many solutions, but because each of them solves their own product, and I have a very specific need and demand for each of these products. And there is not one solution that covers all of those.
Exactly. You know, it's like, this is the thing. You have to be good at one thing. You cannot be good at everything. This is actually as a human being. So it's also as a software like this. And the problem is, actually, I think the problem comes from this. You know, so most of the final decision makers are, you know, Generation X, Generation Y, X or Y, you know, say above 40. So at the end, and they didn't born in a digital age. You know, it's like when they first started working, or above 50 in most cases. So, and it's a digital thing. You know, it's not something that you can touch, you can feel. You know, it's not like buying buying a car. You know, because before all of this, you know, they bought something that could be, you know, so they can feel it, you know, they can see it. But it's a software. It's something actually like a matrix, you know. It's like it's not real, actually, you know, but it's real. And explaining that to them, it's hard. And at the end, you come to this stuff, you know, it's like, hey, the problems that we solve. And when you just say, hey, we solve this particular problem at marketing or sales, he's like, okay, why should I pay monthly $40 for it? Okay, actually, you know, we solve this issue as well, this issue as well. Okay. Then it's worth it. So, you know, it's like.
Well, and I think a danger in that is also that, and, you know, that doesn't matter of the generation, but I think people are very. They tend to think from their own use case to other people. But the problem is, you yourself are not a statistic. It's very subjective. So you can't think of, well, this is how I use LinkedIn, so everybody else must do the same. No, people use social media in different ways, are active on different social media platforms. So you can't just go from yourself and how you buy solutions and then put that out to this entire target audience. Because also a lot of times, unless, like, for example, you know, if I would be working at a marketing platform, of course, then I understand the buyers way better because I am the persona as well. But most of the times, that's not the case. So also, you can't apply your way of thinking to your audience's way of thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you also just pointed at a problem I see in marketing a lot as well, that especially in, like, you know, bigger companies, the marketing decision makers are people that learned and did marketing before there was digital marketing. So they still have a very traditional approach. And even if they have adjusted to the digital approach, most likely, you know, they were already too advanced in their careers when digital marketing hit. So they never actually executed in digital marketing platforms. They have never been in there and, you know, adjusted bids on Google Ads or worked with Facebook or LinkedIn. And that makes it very difficult, because I think from you working in it, you understand the algorithms way more, you see the tendencies way more, and that all is knowledge you need to take into account when you build strategies. And, you know, I see there is this big gap.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times for the sales side, you know, a lot of founders also, you know, salespeople, when it's a bigger company, they fell in love with their product. Who cares? You know, it's like you don't, because they give them also all the time when it's a training, it's about the product training. Product is this, we have this future, that future. Who cares? You know, it's like my approach is always this. You know, it's like, who cares? You know, it's like big interview from now. It's like I work a big interview. It's a great software, but I didn't fall in love with it, because, you know, it's like when you fell in love, you cannot see, you cannot emphasize from the other side. Okay, and it's like, that's why I stay cool. You know, it's like, I didn't push for someone to, hey, we have this product, you have to buy this. You know, it's like, it's not that approach that I take. This and this. Guy, only calm, you know, it's like friendly tone, with a friendly tone. A little authority is also in it, because psychologically it affects people. So at the end, they just, because it's reasonable, the people say, oh, okay, you know that, let's arrange a demo.
But I think that's the next thing a lot of companies forget in this, like, we are the perfect solution and we're solve your problem. Well, because we all have so much experience working in solutions, we actually spot limitations very fast.
Yeah.
So I haven't onboarded one single solution where I didn't feel some sort of constraint or limitation. And that's fine. I'm not saying all of them, you know, need to be perfect. I think it's very difficult to get to a product everybody loves. But people forget that, or companies forget that in their messaging. And it's fine to have limitations. And it's also fine to communicate them clearly. You don't have to position yourself as the perfect product. Because a product's job is not to be the best buddy of the users.
I also use it, actually, you know, it's like honesty is always affects people. You know, it's like when I talk about, you know, so a client, for example, asking for, hey, you have this future for this country. I said, okay, we had some issues. Okay. And I was like, we are not good at it, but we are working on it. So we got a new provider for this. So we are working on it, and so far it seems okay. So I wanted to be totally honest for you, because if you buy this software, don't come to me and say, oh, but you told me this, but there is no this future. And I was like, and actually the guy bought it at the end. You know, I booked the meeting because he said, I love your honesty. You know, it's like, you didn't try to sell, you just explain it. And I was like, that's the thing, actually, you know, being the imagination for salespeople. And I was like, hey, we are salesy, you know, we want to trick you into something, you know. It's like, no, you know, it's like, I was like, just chill, you know. It's like, hey, this. If there is a return of investment that you can see, fine. If not, don't waste also my time, you know. It's like, we shouldn't waste our time, so just move forward.
But that's a massive marketing prejudice as well, that, you know, we just there to trap people. But the entire idea both of marketing and sales is obviously very flawed, because, you know, even if that was your strategy to just trap people into becoming users, well, then most likely they're not happy users. So they churn, and that gives you a big problem as well.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, another fuck up that I have. So I would definitely say underrating cold calls. In some case, for the US, actually, US market. So, you know, it's like when I recently changed my job, and I see that there was a great, because the product has a great product market fit. Okay. Everything is so aligned. you just need to reach out to them. You know, it's like, this is the only thing. You have to reach out to them, tell them about it, and you can most probably book a meeting. So, but with emails, we are reaching out to, for example, universities and corporate. Now we are reaching out to corporates as well, but in general, we are reaching out to universities, careers services departments, but they are really busy. You know, they are mostly understaffed. There are lots of students they have to deal with, and emails gone away. Okay. You know, it's like they don't have time for this, unfortunately. But when I can catch them on the phone, you know, they just, okay. You know, it's like, there was like, okay. I would love to arrange a meeting. And I was like, the only reason was, hey, they have really no budget. Other than that, they just book a meeting. Okay. We used it before. We want to see the improvements. Let's do it on this and this and this day. It was really nice. So do not underrate any outreach method, but it also depends on the market as well. You know, it's like, it doesn't, what works for the US doesn't work for example, Germany, as far as I can see. It's totally different things, totally different approach that we need to take. Emails are much, much better, for example, for Germany. If you make them really tailored, really relevant, they work as well.
I think my biggest fuck up in 2022 is that I failed to implement the full demand generation approach. And obviously that, you know, isn't only down to me. The problem is that you need to get everybody on board and you need to change everybody's way of thinking, which is in the end what I failed at. But it's, you know, something that I think is necessary and something that, you know, is now on my goal list for this year. But I think a difficulty in that is also, I think it's easier for companies to switch to a demand gen approach if they already have a volume of demand they've created in the market, because else you're changing and there is a really like long gap. And now working at a startup, obviously, you know, we are in a very different position. So currently I also can't implement a full demand gen approach. I still need some lead gen activities to help over this gap time, which I think is fine, but it was just a big realization for me coming kind of out of this failure that even though now I have everybody on board with it, there still needs to happen some, you know, a bit more traditional lead gen approach just to help over this time that it needs before the high intent leads come in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One other thing for me is, you know, I take it actually more in personal sense. So, you know, it's like, do not overcomplicate stuff. Think simple. It's actually, I can say a little bit the issue of myself. You know, when I jump into something, I want to cover all the topics around it. Everything. And I do in most cases, you know, so it's a huge, in some cases, a huge time waste. Because I want to cover everything, you know, every one step. I read a lot. I read articles. I watch videos about it. You know, it's like, after that, I feel satisfied. You know, it's like, okay, I can jump into this matter, this thing. But life is not like that. We don't have time to cover everything for everything that we want to do. So this is the other thing. You know, it's like, hey, okay, what is the most basics, fundamentals that I need to know. Okay, in time, you can just jump into it. And in time, you will get much, much better on it, in it. So, you know, this is the one thing that I couldn't do in 2022. And I'm still working on it. So it's still a fuck up that's going on. So I just wanted to, it's a continuous fuck up. So we can just...
I think, yeah, I mean, for me, it's the same. You could look at it as like a continuous fuck up, or you look at it kind of like as a continuous learning, which I choose to do, because I have the same of, you know, I'm a very perfectionist person.
You and, too.
But it's this constant balance of, you know, what you want to do, because you can't constantly ensure that everything is perfect, because it will slow you down. It needs readjustment anyway. depending on what you set up, but most of the times you need to come back and then improve it and optimize it and test it. So does it make sense to spend all of this time and effort, like making it perfect for the launch, or is it actually makes it sense to balance it out and go to, okay, this is like the minimum viable solution or a bit above it, and, you know, launch that and test on it and then make the next refinement.
Exactly. You know, people, you know, think that, you know, it's like being a perfectionist is a great thing. You know, it's like, hey, you do everything perfect. No, you think nothing is perfect. You know, it's like it ruins your life. It ruins our lives. You know, it's like, I did this, but it could be much better. Okay. You know, it's like my, you know, it's like YouTube videos. You know, it's like, it could be, of course, it could be much better, but at the, it's the beginning. It's the first video, or, you know, it's like, nothing can be perfect at the beginning. You know, you can't be a big YouTuber, like, you know, I don't know what. And I was like, at the first your first starting media. So you have to become better, much, much better in your next videos. Also, like, you know, so when I create a sequence, now we are creating a sequence for corporate, I realize, you know, I'm overthinking stuff, you know, okay, let's just start. Let's do an A-B test. You know, it's like, then you can, because we are just, you know, like sequencing, like creating a sequence is like, you know, it's like you are emphasizing, you know, what would they think when I drop this value at that point, you know, it's like when the image should be this long and that long, this should be the words that I should use. And, you know, so where's the personalization? Here is the personalization part and all that stuff. So, but at the end, you know, much more simpler approach, much more basic versions could work, but you don't know it without trying. You know, it's like we are trying to make it perfect. And I was like, an email sequence with, I don't know, 100% reply rate. No, there is no sequence like that. Now you have to be just calm down, relax, and just try.
I think actually that is a thing that stops marketing organizations or specific activities a lot of times as well, because there's always this idea of everything needs to be perfect. We need to have all of this together. We need to be professional instead of, for example, reaching out or contacting or getting things started before everything is perfect and just saying, hey, we don't have to communicate. This is perfect and this is how it will always be. You can get started. You can launch things. You can do small activations without having everything around it together, and you can still be very effective if you, you know, communicate that as well and you actually open up. Like, for example, thinking about launching a feature and you know that, or like, you know, it's in testing phase and it's a beta version, but, you know, launching it and saying, hey, this is beta version, if you want to sign up and test it, we would be happy to have you on board and test it for us and send us your feedback. I think people would actually, you know, receive that very well, obviously depending on what the product is, but things like that, where it's always this idea of everything needs to be perfect. And I think same as you said with YouTube, I mean, it's also a societal thing. You know, I think we are as humans obsessed with the win cases. It's always like, look at the people who made it from dishwasher to millionaire. Like, there was a lot of this obsession of the ones that made it. Well, can we define what made it means? Like, look at us, for example, we're posting a lot on LinkedIn. Are we the biggest LinkedIn influencers? No. But, you know, we're doing it because we're having fun with it, because we believe in it. We like the platform for the most part. Yeah. And, you know, that's a success as well. Of course, you can look at it as a failure and say, oh my God, like, we don't have that amount of followers, or we haven't achieved this and this goal. But you can also look at it as a win and say, hey, we're getting this started.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like in some cases, not everything should be a $1 million idea, or, you know, so bring you 6 figures in 3 months. You know, it's just like this clickbait titles on YouTube. Dude, you know, it's like, just slow down. You know, it's like, it's the life. Everything can happen. Something can bring, without any expectation, millions, of course, some ideas. But in some ideas, you could have some high expectation, but could bring nothing. This is the life, actually. You cannot. We think we are in control of everything. No. When you realize you are in control of nothing but your actions. You know, it's like nothing but your actions. This is one thing. When you realize that, you will go, you know, you will be so relaxed. Actually, you know, people think why you are so relaxed. So I cannot control everything. That's what I know. That's why I'm so relaxed. You know, when something happens, so what? You know, it's like, it will go, you know, it's like another thing will happen. And I was like, there will be always something. Something will always happen.
And with these wise words and motivational speak from Ahmed Abarek, yeah, we'll close this episode of our 2022 Fuck Ups. And we'll hopefully hear you next week.